Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs, a World Series champion. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, he's one of God's great men, and it's always a joy to talk to Ron Coomer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Ron. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Mikey, David, Dust. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
We are living the dream, and we can't wait for Monday. We get to look at the standings for the first time. Woohoo! I wonder how everyone's doing.
Doing good. Yes, doing good. Yeah.
But, Coom, as we get to the Memorial Day milepost in the Major League Baseball season, and you look at the Cubs 10 games over 500, what do you think is the biggest reason they're the 10 games over 500, or what's the biggest surprise in your mind?
Well, that's a good question. Biggest reason, I would say, just off the top of my head, I would say the starting pitching. Even though they've had some issues, you know, with health, I think the guys that have stepped up have really stepped up and allowed the Cubs to stay in ball games. You know, I think Boyd and Ray in particular, you know, and there are other guys that were going to be in the rotation, but Boyd's new. Colin Ray stepping in, and those guys have, you know, and the rest of the guys have done their job. But I really believe maybe the starting pitching stands out, that, you know, you lose your one and two and things have continued on. You know, you haven't had a big fall off. So I really think they have, you know, you always say next guy up. Well, they've done that, actually. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're kind of talking about it just generally this morning, that if someone had come to you at the start of the season and said, oh, well, you know, you're going to lose your top two pitchers. You know, one guy's gone for the year, the other guy's out. Maybe till mid-June, you're going to struggle with the closer. We're still trying to identify the closer.
Yep.
What would you have thought? Where would they be? I don't think anyone would have thought this, and according to Tankathon, they've got the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball because the schedule was so difficult early. So, as you say, 10 games over, I mean, it feels like it's one of those blessed years.
Well, that's me knocking on my dining room table here, Mike.
Yeah.
But I will say this. We have talked about this. That coming out of the gate, the Cubs' first month and a half was going to be very difficult, right? You're done with the Dodgers, you're done with San Diego, you're done with San Francisco. We've played them, so we've done a lot of this stuff, you know, where you're playing these tough teams already. You've gone out east and you've played the Mets. There's been a lot of tough teams that you've already played, and you got through it and you're 10 games over right now. I would think, to your point, in spring training, would Craig Counsell would signed up for what he's at right now, I'd say that'd be a big hell yes, right? With all that we're talking about. So it's been very good. The other thing too, now that you got me thinking about this, when you think about this Cubs offense, they are a pain in the backside for these teams because they can do things, they're hitting some home runs. Obviously we've seen that, but man, the thing that just drives teams nuts when the Cubs are getting base hits and walking and on the bases and they're running. Oh, I can just see the steam coming out of the other dugout. It's like, how do we stop this thing, man? Because once they start running, they just run teams right off the field.
Well, that is the facet of this offense that you didn't really have last year that does give them mm-hmm. another dimension. And I also think it complements and maybe even sometimes it gets our focus. But Coom, I think it was almost a trick question. This offense is historically good. So the reason they're so far in front, they're 10 games over 500, isn't it because they have got four guys with 10 or more homers? The length of the lineup has been extended because of Dansby Swanson at the bottom, Kyle Tucker at the top, and PCA emerging doing wherever you put him.
Yes, no doubt. And Nico Horner doing his job. They put him down there. That's another big plus because he is a great game. Like I always talk about, when you're playing and you're in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, when you drive in those big runs to help you win a game, Nico's been great for that and having good at bats late in the ball game also. And the catchers. I mean, catchers are, at the beginning were hitting eighth or ninth. Now Kelly's been so good, he's in the middle of the lineup. Amaya could be. I mean, he very well could be. He's done a great job too offensively. So there's been here's the big thing. As you're saying that, David, we're talking about different guys. We didn't even mention Pete hardly, or I didn't. And he's having, one of the best years in the league. And, hell, he's only been in the league, not even a full year yet. So you're talking about a lot of guys doing really well and doing their part night after night to help them win. Michael Bush is another one. He's hitting right in the middle of the lineup. Guy's got a year and a half in the big leagues. And he's great at first base, not even good, great at first. All this work he's done is paying off. And he's another one that has great at-bats right in the middle of the lineup. So, I mean, there's a lot of pluses on the offensive side that you weren't sure. There were still question marks. Was Michael Bush going to take a step forward or back? Was Pete Carbstone going to take a step forward or back? They're real young. So that was a legitimate question. You see their work and how much they grind in our game, and it's paid off. It really has, and it's working. There's no doubt.
Ron Coomer on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. Ron, I wonder if your thoughts on Seiya Suzuki. It's interesting because we talked about him moving to the DH role and just how difficult that's been for many players. We had a long conversation with Frank Thomas one time just about how different it is and how tough it is. And Seiya didn't complain, didn't say anything. They obviously move him into the outfield, and he hits great as an outfielder, maybe better than as a DH. And he's still able to play the outfield. He did very well in that stint. What are your thoughts on the season he's having?
I think he's having a very good year. Mm. I look at him and I'm like, there's still things that he's working on as a hitter, and trying to be more consistent with at bats. But Mike, that's every hitter. Every hitter goes through this. Every hitter has. That's why the scouting reports. Everybody's got a whole inner swing. Everybody's got this part that they do the best. So he's still working on that. You can see it at times. But also the guy's one of the league leaders in RBIs. He's, hit some bombs already, and that's great. But the thing that's the most impressive to me is he got thrust into that outfield spot when Happer went down. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, how is this going to be? And he did a great job. Not even good, great. No issues. He threw some guys out at the plate. He's made good reads in the outfield. I said this to Pat, and I think I said it on air, but I'm really happy for him because that's a tough one when you have a tough year on defense and all of a sudden you're out of your position. You're still with the team and you're DHing, but you're out. You really question yourself. And you know what? Obviously, he did the work to make sure that he maintains his outfield skills, and it showed, and that's a big tip of the cap to just him personally by staying engaged into what the Cubs are doing.
Talking with Ron Coomer, who is also the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network, right here on The Score. So, Ron, Matt Shaw comes back before the Marlins series, has 5 hits in 3 games. And I think that it was almost half of the – didn't he have 10 hits up to that point when they sent him down? Clearly a different hitter now, different approach at the plate maybe. What are you seeing in Matt Shaw that is different than the guy who was sent down to Iowa?
Well, I'm really happy for him, first of all. He's another one that – he's a really nice – I don't know if you guys have met Matt yet, but he's a really nice young guy. Two things. One, I believe they've quieted down the leg kick somewhat. They've stood him up and got him a little more athletic. He was really crouched over in turn, so his shoulders were almost pointed towards the second baseman. Very tough way to start your move towards the baseball with your shoulders going that direction instead of right at the pitcher. And then to me, the biggest thing about hitting is, and you know, it sounds, you know, elementary, like Little League, is you got to see the ball, right? You have to be able to see the ball. Well, that's very important in the big leagues in the sense that that means your eyes can't move a lot, and they certainly can't move forward a lot. And his head was moving. He was diving out there with his head towards the pitcher. If you're doing that, you can't hit. I don't care what you do. You're just not going to be able to be consistent as a hitter. That head movement is really quieted down. That's outstanding, you know, and that's allowing him to let the ball get deeper. And that's why he's hitting so many balls to right field. You know, he's got that leg kick and that timing thing, but you can still use the other side of the field, and he's doing it with some power, you know, by driving the ball, at least in the gap and down the line for some extra base hits.
Yeah. I think there, when he first came up, there was, we talked about it, we asked you about it. There was just so much going mm-hmm. on. And yeah. I asked you, like, how do you fix that if it goes awry? Like, what do you do? It seemed like you needed sort of a, I don't know, like a whole plan on how to even go about it. But they've simplified something, and he's hitting a lot better, and he just seems a lot more comfortable at the plate than he did when he first came up.
Well, Mike, what you do is you know, it's like any other thing that you're doing, whether it's business or whatever, you break his swing down into pieces, right? And so you separate the pieces that you're talking about. So to me, what's most important? You go, okay, this is the most important thing in a swing. Okay, what is that? Well, seeing the ball. If you don't see the ball, you can't hit. So now we got to work on your head position and then your head movement. Okay, let's get that fixed first before we move to the next thing. So if you quiet down his head, now all of a sudden he can see the ball better. He can pick out the pitches. He can recognize pitches earlier. Great. Now leg kick. Okay, let's slow that down and let's work on that. Great. Okay, now we got two things down. Now all of a sudden, and you made him more athletic. You stood him up. Now you got three things. Okay, so now you quiet that down, get him athletic. You know, now all of a sudden, if he's able to do that in a pretty short amount of time, obviously, now all of a sudden, you know, you're hitterish again. You know, here's me making up words again.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish.
Hitterish.
You're hitterish. You know what I mean? And you know, you're athletic. You're hitterish. You've got a chance now. You're giving yourself a chance in the big leagues to put your A swing on the ball and do some damage.
As someone who is often hitterish, and as a former hitter, Ron, when you look at the Cubs pitching staff, whether it's a starter, a guy maybe like Cade Horton in the last three starts, or maybe a reliever, which Cub pitcher do you think hitters feel most uncomfortable facing?
That's a good question. Let's see. Who would I say is most uncomfortable? Well, we got some guys that are buzzing it in there 100 miles an hour. I promise you this. I don't miss facing that. I'm much happier looking down at that from the booth than standing in there at 100 mile an hour fastball. So just that alone, Keller, Palencia, you know, Horton, some of those guys that are buzzing it in there around 100, yeah. I'd much rather be on the beach than doing that. saying that's not, it, all you'd have to do is stand close to the cage and watch, or a bullpen, and watch them throw, and you'd be like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I don't need to do that. So I would say of all the guys, that's probably, you know, the guys that are throwing 100 make it very uncomfortable. Like Keller hit the kid the other day, late in the game, we're up 6-1 in Miami, I think it was, and the kid got all upset. You know, he wasn't trying to hit anybody. But you get hit with a fastball around 100 miles an hour, yeah, your dander gets up real quick. Trust me, very quick. Yeah.
So you'd rather face Matthew Boyd than Daniel Palencia or somebody?
Well, he's left-handed. That's an absolute yes. Yeah, yeah. I could hit left-handers. Not anymore, but I could before. Yeah.
You could get a hit, right? If you had one at bat, Ron.
No.
No?
Don't confuse it. All right. 58. There's no chance.
Okay.
They would have to hit my bat right now in hopes that they hit my bat. Hitting is, you know, Ted Williams said it's the hardest thing in sport to do. I'm a little biased like he is. I would agree to that. You know, although going over the middle, you know, and having a Brian Urlacher, you know, having you in his sights and you got to catch a pass over the middle, that takes a little courage too. But, I don't know. I wouldn't mind taking batting practice with the wind blowing out at Wrigley. That I would do. Facing, you know, guys throwing big league fastballs now, not so much.
I think batting practice would be a good segment. We should batting practice with Coombe.
I could do that. Yeah, that I wouldn't mind doing.
When we sit here and we start projecting, you know, how you maintain what you've built to this point for the Cubs, what do you think is the most crucial element? Is it solving the bullpen? Is it getting another starter? Are the only answers external, or do you think they've got enough going on that maybe they can resolve whatever needs there are from within the organization?
That's a tough question, Mike. And it's a good question, but a tough one to answer.
Right.
In the sense that because the baseball season is so long and there's so many games, you know that there's going to be more bumps in the road coming up. There's also going to be guys like we've talked about that take a step forward too. I thought Daniel Palencia made a huge step forward in game three of that series. He blew a save in the first game of that series. He threw a bad slider, gave up the double with two outs, and then things got away from him and he gives up the two runs. Then he comes back, he doesn't throw any sliders and throws 100 miles an hour and says, go ahead and hit it. I'll take my chances with my 100 mile an hour fastball, and he gets a save. I thought that was very, very good for him. That he, you know, jumped right back on the horse in the same situation and got it done. I would say if everything stays the same, the bullpen situation and getting that, you know, under control and just, you know, where you, the roles by the second half really get defined and guys are doing their job. You know, I've never been a bullpen guy. You know, it seems that that is the one thing that they all have talked about through the years is I like having a defined role. I think that's very difficult. I know Counts does not like that. He talks about guys, you're just get outs. All I want you to do is just get outs. Doesn't matter what part of the game. We need 27 of them. Just get outs. So, but I know the bullpen guys like that idea of having a role. The bullpen, it always comes down to pitching at the end of the year. The teams that pitch it well go to October. The teams that don't end up coming home for the most part.
Great stuff, Coombe. Enjoy your weekend off.
Thanks,
Zach,
Ron.
Zach is filling in for you. I hope you come back rested and ready to go next week.
I will, and I just want to say thanks to you guys. Last weekend we had our event with Yuengling, and I appreciate you guys plugging it all week long. You made a big impact. We had a lot of score people out there last Friday, so thank you very much. It was really nice of you guys to do that.
Bless you, Ron. We love you dearly. Yep.
Take care, Coom.
Take care.
Have a great weekend, boys. Yep.
That is Ron Coomer. He is the best.
Terrific stuff from Coom. I'd love to see him take batting practice still. Bruce Levine with his big report. We'll talk to him next.
Mully and Haw on the score.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he is the newsbreaker, as we know, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. And will the 2027, should I say it, lockout strike be the only thing that deters the Cubs from having the All-Star game in 2027?
Well, that's a question. That's an interesting point in, of view. Let's start with the news itself. 2027, the All-Star game at Wrigley Field, reported yesterday the Cubs will be awarded that this summer. Not yet. It's not official. Some other reports have kind of pushed back at that idea. Bruce, where do things stand?
Exactly where you said. Sometime this summer, the before probably the All-Star game, the Chicago Cubs will be given the 2027 All-Star Game by Major League Baseball. And this has been in the works for 10 years, 6 years, seriously, since Mr. Ricketts and their family finished the completion of the renovation of Wrigley Field. And the only thing that has really stood in the way of MLB wanting to grant this to the Chicago Cubs has been the security around the ballpark. MLB security not comfortable with the outside of the ballpark, and that it could be a security risk. Therefore, the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, and the Chicago Cubs are all putting in money to be able to put $30 million for bollards around Wrigley Field, a little bit of expansion on Addison of the area for the street, for the ballards, so that the MLB security and MLB is satisfied. It was the only thing standing in the way, that in having three different mayors now, Mayor Johnson firmly behind this and a big part of this moving forward as well. So that'll be announced. Again, we can go down the road and talk about what happens if indeed there is a lockout strike. But again, that's the only All-Star games that have been missed since this was invented in 1933 by the Tribune's Arch Ward was in 1945 because of travel restrictions because of World War II, and in 2020 because of the pandemic. Those are the only games missed since 1933.
Yeah, I was flabbergasted to learn that the only two teams that have waited as long as the Cubs to host an All-Star game are Tampa, who's playing in a minor league stadium. They don't currently have one. And Oakland, also playing in a minor league stadium.
There is no Oakland.
Well, I mean, the A's, I guess. What, you knew who I meant.
Yeah.
And they're headed to Vegas, and I'm sure they'll get one in Vegas, right, when the big building's
sure.
built.
So here's the list of teams that have had not one, but two games since the Cubs hosted in 1990.
Wow.
Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, Pittsburgh Pirates, San Diego Padres, Philadelphia Phillies will have it the year before the Cubs. The Atlanta Braves have it this year. All six of those teams have had it twice.
And none of them deserve it, Bruce. Not one of them.
Well, we won't go that
far.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Maybe I got carried away. That blows my mind, though. I mean, honestly, and I know the building was in bad shape, and they've had to rebuild it and everything. Why this long a wait?
Well, number one, expansion, right?
Okay.
So when the All-Star Game started in 1933, there were 16 teams. There are presently 30. And most of that expansion took place, of course, starting in 1961-62 and moved forward quite a bit in the late 90s and late 80s, early 90s. So you have twice as many teams. You have 30 teams. It's going to be a big rotation. As you mentioned, the A's never got it in Oakland. And Tampa, you know, with that ballpark, it's never really what they wanted to showcase their Major League Baseball. So that's the case here. But again, you know, the Ricketts family, you know, put $575 million into the restoration initially. Turned out to be $740 million. They got it financed. They had it figured out. And part of the discussion for the Cubs have been for almost 10 years, when can we get the All-Star Game? And this was the only thing, the security was precluding it after 9/11.
Yeah.
We know security and, you know, big venues, number one thing, and they just didn't feel comfortable with it until they, you know, this was reported by Franz Spielman in the Sun Times yesterday that the Ballards were agreed to, and the state of Illinois, city of Chicago, and Cubs will all split the $30 million needed to put in those Ballards around the ballpark.
So if that is going to be happening around the ballpark, how about inside the ballpark? Is there anything left to do in terms of renovation and specifically the press box?
No, there's nothing left to do there. I mean, they've done
really?
Everything they can. Well, the press box, you want a better seat in there, David. It's
I'm just asking because if you're going to have an All-Star game, they got to do something up there.
Are they going to put elevator so David doesn't have to walk all the way up there?
they have three elevators. They just renovated this thing. It finished only 6 years ago. What more would you want them to do to it?
I think he's got a list.
Could use some work. That's all I'm saying.
Where?
The seats.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I just wondered.
More cushy seats for you?
No, it's a fair question.
If you put down a couple hundred bucks, you'll get a better seat, you know.
I know.
Don't use your press pass.
I'm not asking because of self-interest here. I don't have any self-interest. It's not why I'm asking. I'm just curious because the Cubs have done so much to Wrigley Field. It's a very comfortable, much more comfortable experience from a viewer's perspective, from a fan's perspective, that they didn't really go overboard in doing the press box.
Oh,
just
okay.
Saying.
You're lucky you're behind home plate compared to where most
point.
Media are sitting.
Fair point.
In all other 29 places. So, you know, we won't mention exactly where, but the idea is, you know, the prime seating has taken over the last 20 years to the point where the media used to have the seats right behind the home plate. I don't know how many ballparks are left doing that.
So what happens if there is a work stoppage?
What happens to this All-Star game?
Yes.
So that is not determined at this point, according to my sources. They don't know for sure. Now, the one time that it happened in 2020, the Dodgers were supposed to have that game in 2020. But by that time, when the pandemic hit, the 2021 game had already been given away. So they had to wait till 2022 to host with the Cubs. And, you know, will Major League Baseball assume that 2028 should stay open and they won't award one a year from now to someone else? That's the question. So, again, you'll hear that the Cubs will be awarded this game, but will they hesitate on the 2028 next summer because they won't know whether or not there will be a 2027 season?
Got to ask your White Sox question, Bruce. Why would they send down Tim Elko, who has homered once every 11 at-bats? I know he's not hitting
10.
Anything.
10.3.
10.3 at-bats.
To tick you off.
Okay.
That is
again, Bruce, this question is not to do with me. I want to know why the Sox, in a season of development, would send down a guy homering once every 10.3 at-bats.
Yeah, it's what he did in between, I think.
Okay.
But Andrew Vaughn, what's he done?
I don't disagree with you. I mean, you're looking for a little bit of excitement at bat, to pay attention to an at-bat, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't that the
– Yes.
And that's not too much to ask. It really isn't. Vaughn, it might not fall into their development plan, but the idea that, they don't – I tried to – before he was called up, I told you they didn't think that he was an everyday MLB player, but again
– Do they think Andrew Vaughn is? He homers once every 37 at-bats.
There's about 6.6 million questions there.
That 6.6 could play in Charlotte. He still has some options available. Maybe give him the old burger treatment. Yeah. He comes back better.
That would be punitive because who is going to be better than they have?
What do you mean?
I mean, do they have anybody in the system they think is better right
Tim
now?
Elko.
Tim Elko hits a homer more often. I'm just saying he will, fall into a homer. I know you're not.
Bruce, I like Tim Elko's story a lot.
Tell me the point of this season. What is the point of this season? They're already out of it. We haven't hit Memorial Day. They're trailing everywhere, and we haven't even gotten a chance to look at the standings. We can't look till Monday. So what's the point of the season? If it's about player development, then why not try to develop someone? What's the point of running the same guy back?
The million viewers on Comcast.
So they want to get.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh no, but I'm serious. Really, I don't know what the point is. I mean, you're bringing up a 33-year-old guy, and you're bringing back Andrew Benintendi, who they've obviously way overpaid. And Benintendi's a professional hitter. I'm not being mean to him. I'm just saying, what's the point of the season?
Mike, you didn't wake up today and realize that the White Sox weren't any good.
No, I've known it.
Yeah. I mean, being the attentive White Sox fan that you are, it's been going on for a while. And they're hoping they're the next Houston Astros, who lost 100 games 3 years in a row and became one of the, until their scandal, became one of the most admired franchises in baseball the next 10 years. So that's where they're hoping to go. Can you see it right now? No, it's hard to see.
So, Bruce, the Rangers are in town. Bruce Bochy brings his team to Wrigley Field. Jake Berger is on that team. They sent him down. We talked about getting the Berger treatment. What we're referring to is since he's come back, his last 15 games, he's got 3 homers, driven in 7 runs, is hitting closer to 300 at .296. Not great, but better. And I wonder if, number one, if that is a kind of demotion you're going to see other teams try, and because with guys like Vaughn or whoever, and just what maybe Jake Berger did is going to be something that other, it worked. It seems to have worked for the Rangers.
Look, we've talked about, the demotion to the minor leagues after failing the major leagues is not really a bad thing. Look in left field for the Cubs. That happened to Ian Happ. At second base, it happened to Nico Horner. It happened to Anthony Rizzo before that. It happened to Kyle Schwarber, if you remember that.
Yep.
All going back because they failed and they needed a timeout. They needed to go work on their swing and become better, better people, better hitters. And they became better products of themselves. So, I think in our society, thinking that you don't make it at a certain level and you have to go back is failure. In this case, it's really just player development. And we saw it with Matt Shaw. Hopefully the light is on for him, and he looks pretty good since him coming back. So again, just a part of baseball. Baseball's hard. Hitting a baseball still, maybe even more than ever, the toughest thing to do in sports.
Thank you, Bruce. Great stuff, as always.
Guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Bruce. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to bring in Mike Palm next. We'll talk to Mike. Mully and Haw on the Score.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D and Golden Gate.
Vegas! Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Twitter, at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun don't shine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our dear friend in the desert, Mike Palm. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Mike, good morning. How are ya? Mike?
Contest announced yesterday.
Yeah, tell us.
Besieged with the feedback about the, you know, the Grandissimo, the new contest, which is the Survivor on steroids, $100,000 buy-in. Maximum two entries, but that should be fun. A lot of predictions on how many people we're going to get for that, who we're going to get for that. I mean, the number one question I've got is, what's your target audience? Who's paying $100,000 to buy into a football contest? And I said, look, our target audience is David Haw. I mean, this guy's earning money with both fists. I don't know there's a media and outlet in Chicago he doesn't work for. That's our target audience.
He's looking for a place to invest. And he's already approached me about going. He wants me to throw in about $35. I think, David, is that what it was?
That's
offered?
What I'm asking for. Yeah, yeah. But I'll have to know how does this all work, Mike? What is the Circa Grandissimo?
Yeah, so it's you know, we do a millions, which is our traditional five games against the point spread contest, and then we do Survivor, which those both have $1,000 buy-in. Survivor. So the concept is you have to pick one winner a week. How easy is that? No point spread, just the team to win the game. The catch is you can only use the team once during the year. We do throw in a couple wrinkles, the three Thanksgiving Day games and the Black Friday game, which is Bears and Eagles, are their own week. So you have to pick one of those four games, and you pick a winner on Sunday that week. And then Christmas is its own week. So the three games there is its own week, and then you have to pick a winner on the Sunday-Monday slate that week. It's a little tougher this year because three of the teams play on both Christmas and Thanksgiving. So, and then it's whoever lasts the longest. You know, whenever it ends, if you're the last guy standing, you win the whole pot. The pot was $14.2 million last year. Eight different entries split it. They got $1.7 million plus each, and we guaranteed $15 million on that. Well, now we're doing Grandissimo. It's a $100,000 buy-in. You can only have two entries. So obviously the strategy is going to change. I don't think it's going to make it all through the year. It might not make it to October. Well, there's a lot of givebacks. If you live in a city that JXS, the airline, flies to, will fly in, you in a plus one, has three nights in a founder's suite, a cabana with a $2,500 credit at Stadium Swim, and experience at Barry's with Chef Barry. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes along with it. So we're excited to try something different this year.
Yeah, and we should let everybody know that's a ton of fun. And I'm going to have to contact Elon Musk and the boys and see if they'll let me in their little group. But next Friday, the 30th, we've got Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. They're going to be broadcasting live in the parking lot of Wrigleyville Dogs at 3737 North Clark. That's right across the street from Metro, the music club. And Zach's also going to do the pregame there. And you and Derek Stevens will be on site. The parking lot will be turned into Circa Illinois Wrigleyville, and you can stop by for great prizes and lots of fun. So you're coming to town, Mike. That's fun.
We are. Well, we start out Wednesday. We fly to Nashville and then go up to our property in Kentucky where they're building the big sports book to get a look at that, do some behind-the-scenes tours. Then we fly to Chicago Wednesday night. We're having dinner with the Blackhawks executives, to recap the season. Hopefully I'll be able to keep my food down. And then Friday we're doing the event, obviously, in Wrigleyville. But the bigger news is I'll be in studio with you guys next Friday morning. So I'm excited for that.
Excellent. That's great.
Circa's footprint in this area seems to be expanding, Mike. That's the idea, right?
It certainly is the idea. And, you know, American Place will be building their permanent property. So we'll have a book just as big as in Vegas. And we want to continue to be present in Illinois, in the Chicago area, and in the East St. Louis area, and downstate and Peoria and everywhere. Because we really think we have a great product. And next year we're going to roll out our new tech, which we think will make us just as competitive with the big boys.
So help us out. You know, we got a couple of things going on here. We got the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA and in the NHL. I believe there's even a car race going on this weekend. Anything jump off the board to you? We're just looking for anything to invest in.
I love the spot where the dog steals game one to come back with the favorite. I like the Knicks lane four tonight. Oh, I know people say, how do you emotionally come back from blowing that game? But it would be really hard for the Pacers to match the energy of a desperate Knicks team tonight. So I like that spot. I think in the NHL, Edmonton is still worth a play in this series. You can get them plus 160 down 0-1. You know, like I said, mm-hmm. with Florida after they lost two in Toronto, nothing. The home team held serve. That shouldn't change the odds that much. So there's two plays for you tonight.
Wow, I don't know. That's be a good call. That's going to be a great game. The conference finals in both the NBA and NHL have been very
They've delivered.
Yeah, very yeah. dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly the whole playoffs and all the comebacks. I mean, you talk about the three comebacks from the pulmonary Pacers, and you talk about all the teams that have blown two-goal leads in the third period in the NHL playoffs. They're certainly very thrilling, exciting, and we've seen the handle significantly up on both NBA and NHL playoffs this year over last year.
David will give us a car for the race, right? Do you have anybody? Isn't there some guy who's won four or five? He's like plus 550.
I'm kind of out of the Indy 500 crowd.
We're letting our gearheads down.
I'll probably watch the last 10 laps. But
okay.
Sorry.
Hey, Mike, you're the best. Can't wait to see you next week. And this sounds like a ton of fun, the Circa Grandissimo. Holy cow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's exciting, and I can't wait to be in studio, guys. Thank you so much.
That is the great Mike Palm. You're listening to Mully and Haw. We are going to
Frank Cervelli.
Talk to Frank Cervelli
Hawks
next.
Hawks have a coach.
We are going to ask all about it. Want to know what he's going to do to put healing hands on one Connor Bedard. Mully and Haw on the score.